Welcome to the Broad Pod, just a couple of broads interviewing inspiring women.
I'm Becca.
And I'm Jackie.
Let's get inspired together. Don't forget to stay tuned at the end of the episode for a special surprise for our guest. And thank you to WKWC for allowing us to use their podcast studio.
All right, so Owensboro's Burger Week. By the time this comes out, it will have been a few weeks
since it
was over.
Yeah.
But did you try any of the burgers for Burger Week?
Right now, my palate is not good. I don't like food right now, so no. But I wish that I could have, because I love like a burger that has like some spice to it.
Yeah.
So I would have loved one that had some sort of like spice, but I couldn't.
I feel like there were a lot that had spice.
I saw that. I was super bummed.
We had like five or six of them, to be honest, which was way too much
red meat.
What
was your favorite?
For me to be eating. I don't want to.
You don't want to say?
I don't want to say. Okay, no, I will say.
Okay.
My favorite was Libertalia, the bagel place.
Okay.
Which,
wow.
Mom loves a good bagel. But it was really good. And it was spice. It had
some
onions and stuff on it.
Yeah.
And they had Grippo cream cheese.
Oh my gosh, Grippos are my favorite.
It was Grippo cream cheese.
I can't eat those right now.
And they still have it. Like, they're still serving it.
Okay,
there
I might have to give it a try.
It was really good. But then last night, once Burger Week was over, the Basil's food truck, which we didn't get to try during Burger Week because it was always so, like, the lines were just so long. It was in our friend Ashley's neighborhood last night. So I took Asher down there, and while we were standing in line to try it, they came down and gave them the award because they were the Burger Week co-champions with Jay's Good Grub, which is always good.
That is awesome.
But
I just
tell you,
met Tatum, who is one of the owners of that. I just met her.
Oh, yeah, I saw that you were
a few days ago.
That Basil's food truck, I had, it's a like a BLT, but it had a fried green tomato and like their homemade pimento cheese on it, which to know me is to know I'm a pimento cheese connoisseur.
Yes.
That was one of the best things I've ever eaten in my life. So if people want to try a really good food truck, definitely try the Basil's. I mean, it's like chef gourmet quality.
I can't wait to try it. I like that. It looks really fresh.
Yeah.
I like that. I can do that.
Like
unique
stuff that you're not going to necessarily get somewhere else.
Right. So. The only thing I can contribute to food right now is I tried Fireball. Have you all?
No, but I've seen people on
I've been there twice
talking about it.
Yeah. So I saw a video they posted. And it was like, I need that right now.
Yeah.
Like if you have a craving when you're pregnant, you gotta go with it. And, 'cause like I said, I can't eat a whole lot right now.
Yeah.
So I saw that and I was like, all right, Sylvia, we're going to go for a ride. And, I went over there and ordered the Big O bowl, and it was like had like edamame beans, cucumbers, jalapenos, rice, firecracker, shrimp, and it was just so fresh. Like the taste was just so refreshing, and I really enjoyed
it. It's on Frederica, like
I'm gonna go back.
It's close to here.
It's across from the strip center, across from like Red Lobster's or like German American Bank.
I think that's where my nail place is. Is it in the same place as Pro Nail?
This
is an advertisement for Pro Nail.
It's on the opposite side of Frederica than Pro Nail.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in like where El Toucan is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's so good. Highly recommend.
We should just do a whole food podcast.
And by the way, be patient with all these workers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Fireball's new.
Yeah.
They're doing amazing. I've not had any issues, but like, I've seen so many things where people are just so
rude
and impatient. You know, these people are working hard.
Yes.
You know, so.
Also recommend Slim Chickens.
Oh, I can't wait to try that,
you know,
too.
Owensboro loves a new restaurant.
Yes.
And Matt Ruark, my husband, loves a new restaurant. We had to try it. In the first week that Slim Chickens opened, my husband ate there 4 times. So that's good for his cardiologist to know, because there'll be a lot of business coming his
way. I can't wait to try it.
So anyway.
All right. Well, I'm so excited about our guest today.
Yay.
Dr. Laura Murphy is probably one of the most resilient women that I've ever met. And also, I was telling Becca this before you came in here. I was saying that you have like a unique way of making people feel like you're already friends with them. Mm-hmm. Like you're so welcoming and like you can talk to people right away and you just like bring them in. And so I think that's just an awesome quality. And we're so excited to hear a little bit more about your story today.
Yes.
So thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yay.
Yeah, awesome.
Becca will do icebreakers with you and then we'll kind of
get
into the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Okay. So my first question for you, Boo, Doctor, is what are the top 3 items on your bucket list?
I was thinking about that today, and one of them just happened. So but I'll get to that. Number one is I would like to go to Paris, France.
Mm-hmm.
I took French in college, never used it, but I would love to go there. First line I ever learned was Bon Appetit, Madame Massy, and it meant enjoy your meal, Mrs. Mouse. I learned that in 4th grade.
Oh, yeah.
My second item on my bucket list, I really want to go to Africa. I've always felt called to the mission field, and there are a bunch of chances coming up. And I just got my passport. So that's cool. And then my third was to go on an adventure photography trip with my husband. And we are going with Jesse that we do pictures with to Iceland this June.
What?
Wow. So it's already, I'm already checking it off in advance because I'm excited.
That's
so,
wait, the best.
You said an adventure photography trip?
Yes,
so what does that mean?
Yeah. No wedding, no job, no engagement session. We usually do weddings with Jesse. Shout out to Jesse James Ayers. You should look him up. YOLO with the Cholo.
Yeah, he's great. He's amazing. Yeah.
But it's literally, you say business or pleasure, and some people answer both. This time we say no, pleasure. We're there literally for fun.
That's so cool.
That sounds super cool. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I see all those, like the black sand or whatever. It's I want to go there. I'll go anywhere at this point, to be honest with you.
I
need a break. Okay. What show, if you watch TV, is your biggest guilty pleasure?
This is so easy. I put people in two categories, people that love this show and people that don't, aka people that get it and people that don't. Drum roll, The Office.
One of
my favorite quotes is from Michael Scott, who reminds me of a spitting image carbon copy of my father. Nice. And it's when they say, would you rather be feared or loved? And he says, both. I want people to fear how much they love me.
Yes, it's Michael so Scott, good. Baby. That's the way I live my life also.
Yes. I love
that. Excellent. That's funny. All right. So I have so many Office quotes I could talk about. Okay, but I'm going to keep going. Who would you want to play you in a movie about your life, and what would the name of the movie be?
And this is also easy to me. I guess people say
you're the first one
that reminds
that.
Me so much of me, and it would be the perfect person. And it is my daughter, Lily, who is 12 years old.
I love that.
She already loves to impersonate me, usually not in a nice way. She'll say, like, she'll look at my outfit and say, what in the hodgepodge is going on? So she can't handle it.
She's sassy. I love
she would be really good at impersonating me. So that's the only reason I said that. And I think I would call the movie Gold. And I talk about that a lot in my house and in my life, but finding the gold in people and the gold in the really bad things that sometimes happen. And I think Lily would be able to relate me well through that character. So
I love that's that. Cool. That's so good. Okay, so tell us briefly about yourself. Where you're from, school, that kind of thing.
So I went to Davis County High, class of 04. I also say that I was always a Panther because at this very moment I'm still a Panther, and I started that journey when I was in sixth grade. So Davis County Middle, Davis County High, on to college right here at Kentucky Wesleyan College. Fun fact is I was on the radio. We were 90.3 WKWC.
Panther
bluegrass
radio.
Actually at the time.
You still have it.
So I graduated from Kentucky Wesleyan College in 2009. Stayed in school forever. So I did my master's, rank one, and doctorate degree just like back to back. It was, I say back to back, don't be impressed. It took 10 years. and then my big one would be, I love to tell people this about meeting my husband. We did not kiss until our wedding day.
It is
100% true. It happened by an accident. So I will tell y'all that real quick. I was at church camp, and one of the speakers was giving a testimony about some hard things she had been through. And she said, I made a lot of mistakes, but I drew a line in the sand. And I finally said, fine, the next man I kiss is going to be my husband. And what she meant by that is she wanted to make sure she found the right one before she dove in that way.
Right.
I took it as a literal proclamation that she did not kiss anyone until they said your husband and wife. So I'm like, I'm doing that. So fun fact, I told my husband about it, and he texted me on our little Nokia flip phone and said, I would not date you if I didn't know if you were a good kisser or not. And so I'm like, fine, I'm done. He writes me back another night after we played a lot of video games and said, I had fun playing, you know, hanging out with you tonight. And I just want to let you know, if you're the person God has for me, I would wait until our wedding day to kiss you.
Oh, wow.
And so don't be impressed. I've done a lot of other things that we're, you know, not proud of, but we did wait. Until our wedding day. And
that's
it
amazing.
Made it super awkward. Everybody asked about like the fireworks. And I said, actually, I'm sorry to report, super anticlimactic because we were just awkward. Yeah. Earthside, we have four bylaws. biological children, one adopted, and their ages are 15, 12, 6, 2, and 5 months. Mm-hmm. And our house truly is chaos. I have good friends that have either no children or one older child that said they actually like coming to my house because I make them feel better about themselves because they're like, I can go home and take a deep breath and not be Laura Murphy for the night.
Yeah, but there's a lot of love there.
A lot of love.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But it's chaotic.
Chaotic love. She was just telling me on her way, she was like, I have a hard time getting out of my house.
Yes,
after
I can only
school.
Imagine.
Yes, I actually put my kids in the backyard and ran out the front door. So.
See ya.
It happened. My husband is home, for the record.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. Okay, tell us about your day job. What do you do?
Yeah. So my three main jobs, I'm the instructional coach at College View Middle School. This is my first year, so I do serve on a leadership team, and I especially focus with like new teachers. Go in their classrooms, observe, you know, give a little bit of feedback there. And then I teach here at Kentucky Wesleyan College on Monday nights. Cool. This is my fourth semester doing education classes. That's really fun. We're about to student teach. And this was the place that kind of shaped me. So it's special. And then I do write on the side for Owensboro Parent and Owensboro Times. So
very cool.
That's what I'm up to.
What do you love about teaching?
Oh, I have to say that every day is different. Mm-hmm. And then I do plug my pledge because I hope other teachers will hear this and run with it too. I never forget, this is like my mantra, what it was like to sit in a classroom where I was either uncomfortable, unappreciated, or kind of put in a box because I have a lot of energy. I was very outgoing. I was very social. And back in the 90s and 2000s, that was actually equated with being like a bad kid. Mm-hmm. So I've been to in-house, all the things. So I say what I love about teaching is getting to live this part out. Whatever I hated when I was in school, I made a vow I will never be that.
Yeah.
So if I hated being called out, if I hated being, oh, anybody else have an answer except Laura, because we know her hand's up and she's got something to say, I would never humiliate a child that way. So just, I really encourage other educators to do the same thing. Whatever you hated about it, please break that cycle and stop repeating that with future generations just because it was okay in the 90s. There's the plug.
Okay. I wish the listener could have seen the face you just made.
Yes.
With the cross eyes. Yes.
I love it. So what's most difficult about teaching?
I think education is
actually,
to just give somebody validation here, it is probably the most difficult time to be in education because there. I love what one of my friends said. One of my very close friends left education 2 years ago. We were together during COVID. We were talking through things the year after COVID, and she works for a family business, and she's very happy. And here's the way she describes it. She said, Laura, I felt like I always had so many tabs open because there's just so much going on. These are good things that we're doing for children now, but all of those unique, you know, I guess you could call it challenges can feel like a lot. So whereas in the 90s, you might have been fighting apathetic children with support at home. Now, a lot of times, social media has made people feel very brave, if you will. And it's kind of the opposite. Yeah. I've just seen a cartoon where a child got in trouble in the 1960s and their mom is standing next to the teacher and they're both, you know, getting onto that child and trying to call them higher to better behavior. And then it showed them now. And that parent is on the other side with the child and they're pointing and screaming in the face of the teacher. So that would be the toughest. Parent support has seemed to almost become just inside out to what it was when I was there.
Wow.
If I got in trouble, there's consequences at home. Yeah. Now, if a child is like tiny reprimanded, the teacher may get tagged on Facebook that night.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. That is
and it doesn't
very,
stop when they get to college. I can tell you, as the person over student conduct here, I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's enabling and empowering these students to continue to have that kind of behavior.
Right.
And make
it's not holding them accountable for their behaviors.
Oh, that's so everybody else's fault.
Everybody else's fault. And that does leak to other facets besides education. I think we see it in the medical field. We see this unique challenge of social media and technology driven world that things are changing pretty rapidly.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. All right. So pregnancy loss is something you have experienced not once, but twice in the second trimester. What would you like to share about those heartbreaking losses and your sweet little angel babies?
Well, I was about to go into advice here by accident, but I will share first to validate anybody that has had this kind of a touch or affect their life, that one of the most difficult parts is that the world is going around you and it continues to revolve just as normal. And you feel broken. And one of the things I shared with somebody that was an aha moment for me is after we lost Liv, that is our little girl that we lost a couple weeks after her gender reveal in 2020, is that it feels like a light switch was turned off inside of you. So like, hey, I'm pregnant. And some of that's physical. When I say light switch, like your body has been changing, but also your mind and your will and emotions, and you're excited. And then all of a sudden that goes to screeching halt. So that's really tough. And the second, I call it the Dollar General experience, because there's a Dollar General right next to my house, is that when you encounter somebody in Dollar General in passing, that's a place where people are busy. They're running in to get toilet paper because they don't want to go in Meijer or Walmart or Target.
Did that before I came here.
I have had some pretty incredible experiences where I would walk in and I didn't want to show my face to anyone because I was... I mean, this is a little TMI for the air, but you're still like actively bleeding or you're just going through all these things physically. And you walk in and you're like, okay, just get the toilet paper, and you walk past pregnancy test. Okay, just get the toilet paper, and you walk by the Pedialyte aisle that has diapers and wipes. And it hits you like really, really hard in the chest. And you almost have this surreal moment where you're looking around and you think, I wonder if everybody else in this store that's trying to cut me off and cut in line and get their stuff and get in and get out has any idea that right now my world has crashed at my feet. And so I only mention that to say it's about slowing down. I don't want to miss a moment like that now that I'm on the other side of loss, because the fact of the matter is when you're in the valley, sometimes other people aren't in that valley and they may not relate to you. They may not appreciate you, or they may be too busy to even recognize what you're through. Last thing I do need to say about this, some people are really negative about social media in general, but it can be used as a great tool. The one positive I found about sharing our story after we lost Liv is I call them hand holders later in my book, spoiler. They come from nowhere into your inbox and they say, hey, Laura, I saw your post. I just wanted to tell you, and they open up and they've been through the fire and they can help you through. The second time we went through a loss like that, we told no one. We thought people are tired of bringing us food. They're tired of the Murphy story. They've already heard this once. It's old news. It was excruciating how much more we suffered when no one knew. So that's important for all of us in the general public to have empathy when we're out. But it's also important for us walking through trials to say, hey, it's okay to tell somebody, because that loss was right at Christmas time. And, you know, we went to someone's house and they were talking about the baby and handing us a gift for him. And they had no idea we had actually buried him 2 days before. And we finally opened up after Christmas, and it actually felt like I had been this prisoner and the prisoner was set free when I was able to share that, because you're walking on eggshells, you know, in that kind of loss. And it is unique. It's different than other loss. It's a club that no one wants to be in. But if you are, you do, you get it. You get the other women and men. I don't want to ever discount what a husband, wife, combo and, you know, just significant other or partner go through.
You've taken, I know, these losses, and you've turned into like really helping other people that have gone through this. It's incredible to see the resilience that you've had. Seriously. You recently became a mom through adoption. Can you share a little bit about that journey?
This is maybe one of my favorite recent stories to tell. So thank you for asking, Jackie. Yes, I can.
All right.
I like to just get right to it and say where I was, because it's too cool. We were asked to adopt at the very end of July, 1 day before I started my new job. So the timing either looked perfect or scary, however you want to look at that. But I was laying out. That's why I love telling the story. And yes, guys, I'm 38 years old and I was laying out. I was 37 then, so younger years. But I was in my front yard, literally getting sun on a Sunday, reading a book, when my phone buzzes and I look down, and this was this past year, it said, would you adopt my baby? And I stare at it in disbelief, because my husband and I are very open, that pro-life would be a lot more than something political, and it would be more of an action of, do you open your home? What do you do for children after they are born? Like, I could go on and on about what that kind of life means to me. So adoption has always been near and dear to my heart. And so I look at the screen and I ask the young girl, family friend, we've known them, you know, since their whole life. I say, when are you due? And sometimes I look back, I'm like, why didn't I just call her? Or when are you due is all I came up with. And when she told me when she was due, I basically fell out of the lawn chair into the ground. She was due on my daughter's due date that we lost 3 years before. So we lost Liv, and she was due September the 27th of 2020. This baby was actually literally born on September the 27th of 2023. So 3 years later, she was born on her due date. And I love this reaction. I go running in the house because I'm, you know, dramatic. And my husband's editing pictures. And I said, Josh, it's like all one big long sentence with no breath. I said, I've been asked to adopt, and it's a little girl, and she's due on Liv's due date. Oh my gosh, what do you think? Really seriously overly energized by this. And he looks up and he said, sounds awesome. And when that was his his response, two words, it looked impossible for us. We had a savings of $0.00 at the time. Mm-hmm. We didn't have anything in place. And since then, everything in our lives have fallen into place. And this is probably not something most people usually talk about on a podcast, but we were in severe debt. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm still in the process right now of breaking through therapy. Totally recommend therapy. There's your plug. Brent Gerard, Gerard Therapeutics.
Love that.
Breaking a culture of poverty mindset. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in poverty. I was born to two parents who were deaf. I watched my parents suffer. Mm-hmm. My dad is a door greeter at Walmart, even though he has a 4-year degree in philosophy and he went to Notre Dame and St. Meinrad. I just grew up believing that's always going to be my story. And ironically, this baby was used as a smack in the face wake up call. Hey, you have to turn into this agency, your finances. They need to see your debt to income ratio. And it was messy and embarrassing. I'm sorry if I shouldn't go into finances.
No, but
I think it's incredible.
17 unpaid accounts.
So many people
now
can relate.
Now we have zero. Yeah. So basically we started a rapid plan that my husband and I are hustlers. We do weddings, we video, we do sports teams, and we poured every dime that we made for the next 4 months into paying off debt. And these were excuses before. It was like, we're going to Panama City. We're stressed. Let's go to the beach. Also important to say, we also did still go to the beach when the baby was 10 days old. But it became a priority that when you're just going to clean up your house, it's time to also clean up your finances. And I cannot tell you all the relief when we realized that we didn't have car payments and we had a house payment and student loans. So
yeah,
that's amazing.
I shared that, though, because the adoption journey brought us there.
Yeah.
So that was pretty neat.
That's incredible. How old is baby now?
Okay, so she is 5 months old, her name is Jasmine Lindley Marie, a combination of birth mom and our names.
I love that.
Jasmine means gift from God, so that's pretty neat. Lindley means from the castle. That means something very special because I ended my book with like an allegory and it's about the castle.
Cool.
And Marie is my sister's middle name, and birth mom picked that as well, so that's special.
I love that. That's awesome.
Well, you... as somebody who has an open adoption, like, do you plan to continue to have, like, is that relationship going to look like moving forward?
So mom is very, birth mom is very, very involved in the sense that I would say there were weeks where we saw her every week for 5 or 6 weeks
that's
in a row.
Wonderful.
And then there have been lulls of 4 to 5 weeks, and that's okay.
Yeah.
In fact, I felt like it was time to kind of take my hand off the driver's seat. And like, if birth mom wants to see a picture, I will send it. Plus we're all friends on social media. I know it's unique in that this family lives one street over from my dad.
Okay.
And then birth mom's sister, who's amazing, lives in my neighborhood right now. It's unique. You know, I wasn't going to go unfriend anybody or block them on Facebook. And so we just looked at it as, okay, we're taking it one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Will it get more complicated down the road? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But right now, I feel that part of the beauty in this journey is that we didn't ask for any of it. and it kind of landed right there in our lap. Yeah. And it was, it feels meant to be. Does that make sense?
Oh,
we're going to let her drive the car. If I get a message, hey, I'd really like to see you all, I do my very best to do that within the week.
Yeah.
You know, I've got four other children and I want to honor my family and our busy schedules, but I also want to honor the fact that this birth mom chose us. And
yeah,
it's
absolutely
pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
Is that how you feel too?
Yeah. Well, ours lives in Florida. And so, and there's some other stuff we have to navigate with her. But it's always so interesting to me to hear about people's adoption stories because they're all like, there is no adoption story that's going to be the exactly the same or how those relationships work or anything. And I have found, I mean, my son just turned 2 years old in February. And so like, even just in those 2 years, our relationship with her has sort of gone up and down. The amount, the frequency of communication that we're having with her. There was a lot in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm, same.
And then it dropped off for a while. Some other things happened. Now it's back to being more frequent. And I think that's probably just going to be something that we have to navigate for the rest of our lives.
Well,
because she's family to us, you know, in a unique way. Yeah.
It's so funny that you missed the motions of the roller coaster that she just did because I was told by my lawyer while I was in tears in the middle of all this, there was a lot of uncertainty at times.
Yeah.
She said, Laura, just buckle your seatbelt. This is going to be a roller coaster, which is exactly what you described. Well, here's the funny part. My birth mom wanted to go to Holiday World, and she kind of expressed that to me while she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. We will get you tickets and we'll get your friends tickets. Well, schedules didn't work out right. This is probably the most insane thing that's ever happened to us because, first of all, it really was a roller coaster. I thought,
literally,
what are they talking about? Everything's smooth and our money is lining up. We had raised, you know, $6,500 in one weekend on Facebook. I mean, we were very blessed with community support. But it did get tough. And I won't go into details about that. Mm-hmm. But there were moments where I wondered, will this even go through? Yep. Did we do the right thing? We don't ever want to let somebody have a broken heart. We just went through different things. And so I was like, man, she was right. It was like a roller coaster. Well, birth mom messages me and says, it's not working out with the people I was going to go with. Can you just take me to Holiday World? So when our baby was only 3 weeks old, I told my husband, you're going to be daddy, you know, daycare for the day. People hate it when you say daddy daycare, but when you have this many kids, it's legit. He can say that.
Yeah.
And so we go to Holiday World and it's just the two of us on the front of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been on the Thunderbird since before I got pregnant in 2020. And we're going upside down. And I'm like, holy beep, what was I thinking? And we're upside down. And in that moment, our shoulders are actually touching. Mm-hmm. And she is laughing. And, you know, I'm screaming. And the roller coaster comes to a halt. And I got very emotional. I said, oh my God. My lawyer told me that this will be like riding a roller coaster. And I'm on the front row with this awesome teenage mom on the front, literally, of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And so that moment was metaphorical for us.
Yeah.
And I said, what did you think? And she was like, that was awesome. And my thought was, get me off. So I thought this is probably going to be very representative of how we feel at times.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool.
That is a really cool story. Okay. So obviously family is so important to you. And not long ago, you experienced the tragic loss of your mom. What are you willing to share about that?
Well, that was a great question, Jackie. That was probably the biggest line in the sand moment for me. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was before I lost children and after. I would look at pictures of me and be like, well, that girl was an idiot. She had no idea what this would be like. But that's really the moment. On January the 3rd of 2022, we thought we were celebrating victory, to be honest. Judson, who was our double rainbow baby, was 7 weeks old, mm-hmm. and I was getting a C-section incision looked at. And we were leaving Dr. Ottman's office. I had just taken a selfie with the baby, and I was actually going to send it to my mom. She always wants to know, how did it go at Dr. Ottman? We're like third generation patients here. My grandma went there. My mom went there. I go there. I don't know if she would have stayed around. Lily would have gone there. But I get to the stoplight and I'm so pumped. I'm like, mama is going to be glad to hear I'm checking out okay, mm-hmm. because I had a lot of female issues. And instead, my phone says Kentucky State Police calling.
Oh my gosh.
And so I ignore it. I'm like, I'm not answering that. I get to the same stoplight where I had cried my eyes out. It's also in the book because of loss. And I felt victory. But at that light, I noticed that my phone is saying that. It says it again on the way home, Kentucky State Police calling. And I'm like, oh, I bet there's a campaign. They're fundraising and they accidentally called me back to back. And when I get home, my sister and dad are waiting for me. very somber look. The Kentucky State Police had found my dad at Walmart and, you know, he was door greeting and they had got a hold of my sister. She did answer and they said, we need you to go in person. You know, you might want to go find your dad at Walmart. He will need a support. And so they take me back in the bedroom. And when I hear the words, actually, my dad's kind of cute, though. I have to give him props for this announcement. He says, your mom is in heaven. And I know it was precious. He's socially a little bit backwards from his 90% hearing loss in one ear and 100 in the other. But he looked shocked, though, and he's more full of joy than me. So I knew it was serious. But there was something pretty beautiful through all of this. And that was that my mom didn't have life insurance. Everything looked bleak. And there goes our community again. They raised the complete amount for her funeral in 24 hours right here in Owensboro and from everywhere else. So she was a really generous person. And would give you, like, if she had $100, she would give you 98 and go grocery shopping with the other two. So that was pretty cool to see that whole reap what you sow come back to her.
Yeah.
But it was just surreal. She was 61, and it feels like she might as well have been 40. Yeah. She wrote a lot, just like me. And so finding all her journals was pretty emotional too. After she passed away, I found a journal where she had taken out two side jobs to pay for my gymnastics recital. And I sat there and wept. I was like, man, those were my rebellious years and I wasn't grateful. And she said, I don't know how I'll come up with this $55 they need at Joy Johnson's, but I think I'm going to clean some extra houses. And so I guess part of that journey would be you realize sometimes after the fact how much you really had. Yeah. And so that's...
Yeah.
Cruel, but a realization.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was your favorite thing about your mom?
Definitely giving heart. That is, we are not alike personality-wise. She student taught at Davis County High and was an education student at Brescia and then never taught a day in her life. Wow. And people described it as her hearing loss caused her to be like in a glass box and she couldn't hear. So she was not confident, was not outgoing. Obviously, y'all can tell I talk a lot. And yet she was the most giving human. And so where I'm excited about that is that there is something I can say, wait a minute, I do take this from my mom. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that in this grief journey is what can you take away that's good? Hold on to that like a teddy bear. What are you like, I don't resonate with that. Open your hands like if it was a butterfly or something and let that fly off. Mm-hmm. And so there were things, man, we butted heads. If I said, do not take my children to McDonald's, we are getting them food before church. And then we were running late for church and I called her and I said, Mama, where are you? She would say, McDonald's, don't judge me. They were hungry.
My mom.
I'm like, so it has to be her giving heart.
Yeah.
Just so generous.
Yeah.
And then I want to be that. I would rather give it all away and be back where I started than to hang on to it and live a life that was closed-minded.
So, yeah. That's awesome. So how have you navigated life without her?
That's such a great question. Number one, I'm going to go with therapy. I went to an intensive 8-hour therapy where I had to work through some things because I want to call her. Gosh, listen, this part's a little sad. I would have called her to tell her about tonight. I would have said,
absolutely.
Mom, I'm on a podcast. And then I know you're about to get to the conference, but listen, she would have been all about it. My mom literally loved women's events, anything that was free. I'm just being real, guys. If there's free food, she's there. I love that.
Sounds like my kind
and
of woman.
So, one thing though, y'all gave me the answer without even meaning to. Your laughter brought me back into that. One way I navigated my life without her is to honor her in all the cool areas and to stop in my heart or mind and say, thank you. So she loved chapstick, not the good kind, but cherry or, you know, strawberry chapstick brand. She loved peppermints. Always carrying peppermints in her purse. After her car accident, we found her purse and there were crushed peppermints in there and I wept. She loved, don't judge everyone out there because I've already alluded to this can be a tool. She loved social media. She said, this is my ministry. And she would get on Facebook and sing out of tune. But I go back now and I'm like, dang it, woman, you are so brave. And I admire that. So I'm trying to pause more often and not just weep when I see a peppermint or the chapstick or the reminders and just stop and be like, well, thank you because you're showing me who I want to be for my children. So it's pretty cool.
That is amazing. So what advice do you have for people that have that are experiencing grief and loss or they are bound to in this life?
I only have one good piece of advice. I will be honest with you. And it's that the night can't last forever. It is the most incredible experience I've ever had with healing, was sitting at the mouth of the water waiting for the sunrise. And I was OCD about it. And it was supposed to come up at 5:38 that year. It was a summer morning at Myrtle Beach. And I sat there frustrated on the end of two losses. And the sun didn't rise. And I felt bitter in the moment. And I thought, of course it didn't rise. Everything this year has gone wrong. I'm just being honest. We can wallow there because yeah. We're human beings.
Absolutely.
And anyway, it finally comes up a little bit late, thanks to fog. How rude, right? And it's pink and orange and bright, and it's there. It's so there. It's just the most incredible sunrise experience I ever had. And what I heard in my spirit or in my mind, however people want to honor that, I say that the Lord told me this, is don't you believe for a second that the night will last forever. Mm-hmm. And guys, when you're walking through grief and loss, it can feel like it will. Mm-hmm. Your Dollar General moments where you just want to get toilet paper and you're gut punched with a memory or a wall of grief, it will not last forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, on the other side of it, I feel like I experience more day than I do, the oppressive, dark night, mm-hmm. loneliness, despair, because yeah. I tell myself that often. I'll say, don't believe the night's going to last forever, Laura. Get up and get out there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
I don't know if that answers the question or not.
Oh, my yes, gosh, 100%.
Becca's over here beside herself.
For once, I'm really quiet because I like everything that you say.
Oh, sorry.
No.
You're a talker, so anybody who's listening that knows
everything you say has meaning to it, okay?
For sure.
Okay, so one way, you kind of alluded to this a little bit, one way you've honored your mom's memory is through the conference Joy Comes in the Morning, which is actually, we're recording early. This will come out in a few weeks. It's coming up this weekend. Yep. And I'm excited to be a tiny part of it. So tell us about how that came about and what it's about.
So I got a tattoo finally at 34 years old.
Yeah.
I've come from a really backwards, I don't know. Let's just leave it at that. So I got a tattoo in honor of Liv and in honor of my children, Earthside and in heaven. And so y'all can't see it, guys. It looks like a taco. It was supposed to be a sunrise, but I drew it on a napkin. So don't do that at your first tattoo parlor experience. But it says Psalms 35. And that scripture is, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I found it probably in a pregnancy loss book, but I really clung to it. Got it tattooed on my body. So that meant it was significant by that point. I think my dad and mom both almost had a heart attack when they saw it, but they forgave me. And there's four rays for my Earthside children and four rays for the babies that we loved and lost. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I got the idea. Then I thought about how much I yearned for a day that was uplifting. It wasn't depressing. Mm-hmm. It acknowledged grief. It acknowledged loss. It shared stories, but in a way that said, hey guys, no matter where you're at as a woman right now, your page does not have to end on this sentence, or your story doesn't end with this chapter. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do a women's conference. I had no idea last year that it would flow like it did, but it went amazing.
It did.
Jackie made us bracelets, the Joy Comes in the Morning bracelet. The women felt very loved and empowered. And then this year we did sell the conference out in 48 hours and I could not believe it. So Friday night only, we're expecting about 215 women. And then for the full weekend, it's about 150. And the reason it's less for the full weekend is we have breakout sessions in different rooms and we just couldn't accommodate anything bigger. But yeah, we're excited about it. Just a couple ideas like for the breakout: raw, real, and restored, healthy mind, body, and soul, living room worship, parenting with a purpose, giving through grief. Mm-hmm. So just every aspect a woman might be, whatever level she's at, she could sign up for breakouts. And we hope that, I'm like, you know what? If it speaks to them during one part, they get an aha moment, it's absolutely worth it that I'm staying up till midnight all week. Okay. Because those name tags don't make themselves. Am I right?
So it was incredible last year. I was so glad to be a part of it and stand in the back and listen to all the speakers. And it was very heartwarming. It was wonderful. Very uplifting.
And where do you have that?
It's at River Tree Church. People only know us when I tell them that we're the same building or the same parking lot as Elite Air. So our church actually owns Elite Air. It's all in there together.
So something big you've kind of alluded to a little bit has just been released, and it's your book called Inside Out and Upside Down. Tell us about that. Yeah. What can people expect? Give a little teaser.
So I'm excited about this, and this is my plug for you all. I am Laura Spencer Murphy on Facebook. If anyone knows somebody that needs this book, please actually do private message me, because I also feel very called to give a bunch away. So mm-hmm. I just got a message today about somebody that had lost a baby, and I'm like, give it away. So please do not think that the following lines have anything to do with trying to sell. I am on Amazon.com if you should feel led. Okay.
So, hey, you plug away,
but
girl.
I would like to give them away. But the book started by journaling to Liv, which at the time sounded almost ridiculous, but was therapeutic. I was writing to her while she was in, you know, inside of me in my womb, but I didn't know that we were going to lose her. Mm. I had to just keep going because it's a Google Doc on my phone. I write to all my children. It was a release for me. And I'll never forget Easter. For some reason, it hit me the hardest. And so that day I journaled. Today was really, really hard. I could barely get up out of bed. And I think the reason is that Easter was supposed to be like, wear a cute outfit with your family. It's sunny. We're hunting eggs. You love candy. So it was like your whole love language was this holiday. And all of a sudden you're in despair. And so that journal is actually what prompted the book. I had been writing and somebody said, well, one day you'll write a book. And someone else said, maybe it would be eventually like a Life After Live, you know, website or a blog or a nonprofit. This hasn't happened yet, but it's definitely banging at the back door for me. So anyway, I write the book. It's got chapters like grief is like a mountain. So crawling back from grief, a chapter, how could this be his plan? A chapter called out of my control. How hard that is. There's a scripture in Proverbs, but it will relate to anyone outside of religion, that says, man makes his plans, but the Lord orders his steps. That's so much easier said than done. As women, we've already planned it out. And when things don't go that way, that's grief too, y'all. And that's not death necessarily. It's just, I thought I would do this by 30 or 40 or 50. Yeah. And so I wrote the book, and I promise you guys, it was number one on my bucket list. I'm going to publish it in 2022. So when in 3 days into the year, my mother is, you know, killed in a car accident. Suddenly I felt like a fool. I reread chapters and I thought, what do you know about grief? Mm-hmm. Because the loss of a child and the loss of a parent are two different waters to navigate. And they hit me differently. They losing my mom was more of, I re-questioned my whole identity. How will I know what to do for my daughter? Who will I call? Oh no, now I've graduated prematurely into I'm the one that everyone in the family is going to call. I didn't want that role yet. I needed my mom. So I put that book on hold 2 whole years. So shout out to Faith Harrelson, who is also amazing in the adoption community. Mm-hmm. She does do family counseling, and she is an author, for putting on a women's conference this year called Renew at the Father's House in January. And I had decided that night I was going to publish my book. And a word came during the service that said, many of us women believe things are too late. And we look at the clock going around and around and around, and things have passed us by. Mm-hmm. But she just kind of encouraged us. That's the world, how the world runs, and that's okay. But in what I believe, in my faith, in the kingdom, and the way things run, it's almost opposite order. You know, instead of everything being on fast forward, it says pause. Mm. Instead of everything being forced and rushed, it says decide. And so I took a pause for only 24 hours, guys. I really am somebody that is very impulsive. And I just started the process. I'm like, this needs to be published. Mm-hmm. It's speaking to me personally more 2 years later than it did in the moment. Somebody out there could be looking for a book on the other side of grief, just like I looked for. And that's just kind of what I put on the back. I wrote the book that I wish I could have found.
That is amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I love the fact that you said that you write to all your kids.
I made a mental note right then. I was like, I need to do that.
That's incredible.
And I like to people to see how realistic it is, though. I started with Jonah at about 5. He's 15 now and a freshman at Davis County High. But you will notice when I had 2 children, I was journaling by far way more, like every week at the worst. Now it could be one time in the month, or it could be Happy New Year, sweetheart.
Makes me feel better.
I write a lot. Yeah. Because if you overdo an expectation with yourself, sometimes you're hard on yourself.
Yeah.
And so I'm just glad if they got 5 or 6 updates this year from a page and a half from mom, whenever they're grown up, how special would that be?
That's amazing. Yeah, I love that.
Like, no matter what they have, have that forever.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
whatever
wrote
it is,
from your perspective, is going to be really
special. Oh, I read it back.
That's a great idea.
This is pretty funny. I'll say, you know, like, mommy took y'all to the spray park today. And I'm like, why am I referring to myself as mommy? But, you know,
like third person.
Yes. So that's pretty funny.
That's cool.
All right. So what are some other things that you're involved in or enjoy doing?
Well, I'm just going to go with one to keep it simple. Okay. I'm a mover. I absolutely love to move. Mm-hmm. So for 5 years, I was a Pure Barre instructor. Mm-hmm. And because of time, I literally stepped back from that when I was getting my doctorate degree. But it was a wonderful time of season. But I love to run. I'm not a good runner, so nobody be impressed. I should actually preface that by saying I love to speed walk or slowly jog like I'm dying.
We can relate.
I'm going to do the half marathon in 2 weeks, which is after, of course, y'all let this out. It will be in the past, but for Wendell Foster.
Yeah.
And something neat is I used to push myself and everything was about performance. So like my first half marathon was a 208. I ran it in Chicago and I'm like, I'm going to break 2 hours. And I did half marathons later. But the best race I ever ran was I had the flu and my husband was pushing a local young student, a classmate of my son's, in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And we both had our quote, what runners would say, terrible time. The opposite of a PR, the opposite of a personal record or best. We ran 20 minutes slower. And I had something cool come to me. It said it wasn't your fastest race. It was your best race. And even it was your favorite race. So sometimes as women, I think we put these really harsh expectations on ourselves. But I enjoyed saying, hey, I had the flu and I was wearing a mask. This is pre-COVID, by the way, before the race. And I finished it well because I was proud of myself. And I did not care about time because there was no pressure on me. Yeah. Zero pressure. Why would I ever want a PR when I had the flu? That's just silly. Yeah. Also, don't run when you have the flu, guys. Yeah. It was really stupid.
Seriously, crazy.
And I was on bed rest after that.
But anyway, lessons.
But my favorite was I did run a 5K a couple days before I had my six-year-old son, Josiah. And I'll never forget. It was the Run from the Cops 5K. It was by the police station. My friend Stacy talked me into it. Oh, actually, that was when I was about 7 months pregnant. The final one was the Barbecue Festival 5K, but I crossed the finish line and some young kid said, dude, dad, is she pregnant? You know, as I crossed the finish line, he was like,
yes, I am.
Yes, you know, I think she is. And I just remember being extra proud because I didn't let that stop me. And I don't recommend running 5Ks right before you have a baby, but I am a mover. And so that would be, I cover that under hobby and passion. I love to move, but believe it or not, that's when my mind slows down. So I'm out there moving, my heart rate is up, but my mind is focused. So I've had probably the most incredible breakthroughs when I was out there, you know, on the Greenbelt or in my neighborhood. And one of the most depressing days that I can remember during grief was when the Horse Fork Spray Park was closed. We had just lost Liv a month before. We got out. We got all of our kids ready. We had swim diapers, clothes, popsicles. And any mom in this room knows it is a task to get your children out of the house and to a spray park. And also stressful. Yes. It was closed. There was caution tape everywhere. And when we got home, I went under the cover and I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. I scared my children a little. They're like, what's wrong with mom? It was just a spray park. But I said that to say an hour later, I just heard in my mind, go walk a mile. The whole mile, I just surfaced, not verbalized out loud, but just in my mind, every frustration I had. It's not fair that I finally packed them up and wanted them to have something fun to do, and now we have to drive back home. It was sunny and pretty, and I just wanted to get out. I guess I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to have fun with my kids again. Those things sound ridiculous in hindsight, but in the moments, they're very real. That would be why I enjoy moving.
I love that. Okay, so who are some women who have inspired you? Or if you don't want to name names, then what are some qualities in some women that have inspired you along
Well,
the way?
I'll just say Dr. Shutt. She's from Davis County Public Schools, former assistant superintendent. She has a no excuses mindset when it comes to children, adults, education, leadership, that says, what are you going to do about it? Like, it's okay to bring a problem to her, but she will immediately respond with, what are you doing? And it really helped me to develop a solution mindset. So I really look up to Dr. Amy Shutt. She's also one of the reasons I wanted to get my doctorate degree. I'm like, listen, if she looks this cool in some pearls and high heels and she has doctor in front of her name, I should do that too. Actually, not kidding. And then the other one inspired me. Yeah. And it's sad, since y'all know that through this podcast would be it would be more through death than life. But my mom, I love reading her journals. I love that my parents, even though they lived in poverty, gave and gave and gave. My sister and I were not raised like two children in poverty. Besides being on free lunch, we didn't really know it. And seeing her be a hustler has come out in me.
Yeah.
So she has inspired me to want to inspire my daughter. So I want our kids to see us hustling. If they're like, oh, mom and dad, you know, took us on this cruise, I want them to know that it cost us something and see the value in that hard work. So those are my two.
Yeah. I love that. All right. And last question. I think it cut off on this page, but hopefully I sent it to you. What are you most proud of about yourself?
Oh, you're trying to make me cry? I'm serious. No, I am the most proud. And see, I'm telling you, I'm getting emotional. I am an emotional person, by the way, that I keep getting back up. And my old phrase before all the loss was that one day I wanted to influence the influencers. So one day I wanted to go into schools and get teachers pumped up so that they could in turn go get the children pumped up. And in our personal life in church, that I could encourage other church leaders so they could go back and pep up the crowd. So I'm proud that I wanted to sit down and give that up. Y'all, it is so much easier to say, I quit church, I quit my job, I'm doing something different. Yeah. And I just keep getting back up. And I'm also, one more would be, I am proud that I'm choosing, because I want that to be very clear. People throw around the word toxic positivity. I've heard it in therapy too, y'all. Mm-hmm. It is real, so I'm not invalidating that. But I want people to know that overall, this mindset is a choice.
Yeah.
There's a difference between everything is rainbows in the middle of a thunderstorm and not being realistic and saying, no, I see that it's raining and I see that it's a thunderstorm, but today I'm going to get to clean my house. And so I am an owner of a positive mindset that is a choice daily.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be people that say, well, I can't just be that peppy all the time. I can't just be that positive all the time. And it's important for us to teach other people and advocate for the fact that this is actually a choice.
Yeah.
And it is a daily process. Mm. And it is something that isn't overnight. I'm going to be peppy even though I lost everything. No, it's that mindset of when Job asked the Lord, like, why are you doing this to me? There's a scripture that says, well, where were you when I hung the stars in the sky? Where were you when I put the whole world into motion? And I have that constant reminder right now that I wasn't there. And I don't see the bigger picture of everything, but I can trust that something good will come of it.
I love that. You have a gratitude mindset.
That's exactly
what I'm saying. Oh, cool. Attitude of gratitude anyway.
Oh, absolutely. You choose to see gratitude and be grateful for even like, you know, the dark times. So it's pretty amazing.
The sermon at church this past weekend talked about that. And if you're choosing gratitude and if you're choosing to be grateful, you don't really have time for the other stuff because there's so much to be grateful for. And so if that's, you know, the attitude of gratitude.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, and I can just tell from early on in this interview when you were talking, I was like, man, gold.
I
can really see the way that you see the gold in everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's really inspiring to other people.
Yeah. You are just such a strong woman. And we're so proud of you and all that you've overcome and all that you choose to continue to overcome. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We so appreciate you.
And I support you running. I don't understand it, but I support you running. And I'll actually be out there doing the 5K slowly.
I might be too, actually. Yeah.
But I do what I call wogging.
Yes.
Walk a little, jog a little, walk a little. You know,
do y'all know Chad Bedingfield?
Yeah, of course.
He's my favorite person. And so the last time I did this Wendell Foster half, I love him. I'm just in his fan club. I made up the fan club actually, and I'm CEO and president, but I ran into his arms. It was actually funny. And he did pick me up, lifted me off the ground right in front of Legion Park, spun me around, put me back down, and I kept running.
That's
amazing.
I really encourage other people when you see people running their race, literally and metaphorically, to be that kind of cheerleader. It
I
was
love
so
that.
Fun.
That's awesome. Everybody needs a Chad.
It made my day.
Can I be the treasurer of the fan club?
Yes, you can.
Okay. All right.
I want to dare somebody else to be as cool as him, by the way.
I love it. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Laura's mentor, Dr. Amy Schutt, tells us what she thinks is inspiring about Laura.
Laura, I'm so very proud of the young woman you are. You wake each day with a grateful heart and a desire to serve others. Each day, you choose joy. You have faced challenges and heartbreak and continue to choose to live with a grateful heart. A Mother Teresa quote, when I see it, it always makes me think of you. A joyful heart is the normal result of a heart burning with love. Your smile always makes my heart happy, and your presence brings me joy. Continue to go forth and do great things for others. I adore you, and I'm so proud of you. I'm inspired by the significant impact you make on our world every day.